Reformed Church.
We know that end time judgment is the devil's judgment. And I've been saying that God has not judged the devil yet, because he knows that when he judges the devil, it'll pass to all of humanity. So that's why God is saving it, giving people time to get cleansed of his sin, giving people time to come to Jesus, and then he's going to judge the devil after this age is over with. And when he judges the devil, it'll pass to everyone that is in his likeness, okay? So that's the truth. But then what about hell? Because hell, we know, right, is not end-time judgment. Hell is a different place than the lake of fire. Hell is something that exists right now. And if an unbeliever dies, we know from the Bible, they go to hell. And hell is also a place of fire, a hot place. Luke 16:19 talks about hell and is probably a better descriptor of that, probably the best descriptor of hell that I know of in Luke 16. But so what about hell? Well, hell to me seems more like a holding place until end time judgment. And here's my thing. The question would be then, why, if God hasn't judged the devil yet, why is it that when people who are unbelievers die, why do they go to hell, which is obviously a place of torment still? Why would an unbeliever go to hell if God hasn't judged the devil and his angels yet? Well, I think this is opinion, but I think that that's also inherited. Because from what I see in Scripture, I believe that the devil's sort of home base, while he can traverse the earth as well, I have more to say about this, but I believe that the devil's, like where he actually, again, his base is in hell. That's actually where he belongs. And I believe the devil and demons in general are in hell, but they can come up and traverse the earth or possess an unbeliever or something like that. But I believe that they are in hell. The reason, and so if the devil is there being held there right now, it would make sense that an unbeliever who is his heir, when they die, would also go to hell. The reason why I say that is because the Bible says that when a demon or like a devil, one of the devil's angels, when a demon possesses somebody, if you cast a demon out, it says that it goes to dry places, or properly it's waterless places, and that's Matthew 12:43, to waterless places. It says seeking rest. But if you're wondering, well, what is the waterless places? Again, it says dry places, but the word properly, if you look at the Greek there, it's waterless, like without water. Well, that's a name for the pit under the earth, waterless places. It's actually the same place that Jesus went to when he died, is waterless places. Zechariah 9:11 speaks about the pit wherein there is no water. And it's actually said that that's where Jesus set us free from, the pit wherein there is no water. And so waterless places where a demon goes when they're cast out is referring to under the earth. So that's why I say I think that the devil and his angels are actually under the earth. Even the angels we spoke about last service that, you know, sinned in Genesis, it says that they were committed to hell in chains of darkness. So I think they're actually down there. But it is, and now the devil used to be able to traverse heaven, earth, and the sea, all three places, the sea meaning hell or the underworld, right? But in Revelation 12, though, the Lord cast the devil out of heaven, and the devil can't go up into heaven anymore. He used to go up there to accuse people. He can't go there anymore. So the Bible says, woe to the earth and to the sea, or to the underworld, because the devil is basically stuck here now. So with that said, if it's true that the devil is actually in hell, or demons are actually in waterless places in the pit, it would make sense then that those who are heirs with the devil and his angels, their spirit would go where the devil is, right? It would also make sense that if a Christian dies, which doesn't have to be, but if a Christian dies, their spirit goes where? Where their joint heir is, in heaven, Jesus, right? Even when Judas died, it says then he went to his own place. In other words, where it was fitting for him to go, which of course is talking about hell. And so that's basically what happens. That's why I believe that an unbeliever's spirit goes to hell, because I believe that that's actually where the devil's, again, for lack of a better term, kind of home base is. If I had more time, I won't take the time really right now to say much about this, but I have a theory as to why the devil is, or I suppose he is, in hell, and why he comes up, and why demons possess human bodies. I have a theory on that. I'm not going to talk about that right now, because it would take too long for this question. But anyway, to answer the question, that's why I suppose the spirit of an unbeliever goes down to hell, is because I believe that that's where demons are and that's where the devil is. Now, you may say, well, of course, but I think we only say that because we always think of, you know, in our head, the devil with a pitchfork in the fires of hell. But I'm saying this from Scripture. That's the scriptural basis that I see for that. And I'll give you a little hint, too. I think, just an opinion, that demons and the devil come up from waterless places. They come up for relief. I think that that's what it is. I think they possess human bodies for relief from hell. Just an opinion. Because if you read Matthew 12, it talks about how when they're cast out, they go into waterless places seeking rest, but they find none. They find no relief. And therefore, a demon, when they're cast out, if that person is not saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, a demon will come back and even return back to his house, to that person's body, and bring seven more demons with him, more evil than himself. The Bible says that. So anyway, I think that it's actually uses a relief mechanism from that place of torment to possess a human body on the earth. So that's a quick version. But all right, so there's that question. One last question, which is just a really short one. Then I tried to answer this recently, and it didn't have time. But we've been saying that if those that are sons of their father, the devil, when the devil is judged, the sons will inherit it, right? Wish I could explain that, but I can't. But that's what we've been saying, right? Well, then what about the verse in Jeremiah 31, 29 and 30? Particularly in verse 30, it says that everyone shall die for his own iniquity. And the context of this is he's saying that a son will not die for the father's sin. If a father, he's saying, does some kind of sin, in Jeremiah 31, 29, he says that in those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape and the children's teeth are set on edge. Basically, he's saying that this was like a saying back then, that the father did the crime and yet the children get included in the punishment. And the Lord's saying this will be no more. It'll be no more said that you know, the children receive the consequences and punishment for the father's sin. He says everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Okay, so with that verse, how does it make sense then that I'm preaching, okay, the devil's sin and his sons will join him in his judgment, even though it's not their own judgment? How does this work with everyone will die for his own iniquity? How would the world be judged with a judgment that's not even their own, which is the devil's, if this verse is true? The problem is that to think that you're kind of conflating the word son symbolically with the word son as it's being used here. So it says every man shall die for his own iniquity, meaning it's true and it's just that if a human father back in the day under the law, say, commits murder, right, that his son shouldn't be punished who did not murder anyone for his crime. Everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Mind you, this is under the law, but that makes sense, right? But the way I'm using the word son, when I'm talking about sons of their father, the devil, I'm not talking about a biological connection. I'm not talking about, like, the devil committed a crime and his biological sons who did nothing wrong are going to be punished for something they didn't even do. That's not what I'm talking about. The word son means like unto, right? Someone who partakes of someone else's likeness. And this is not, when I'm talking about the sons inheriting the judgment of their father, what I'm talking about, I'm using that word more so symbolically than anything. And I'm saying that because human beings have joined the devil in his sinfulness, they have joined him in his sin, therefore they will inherit the judgment of the devil and his angels because they have joined him in his sin. So this is not a biological son who had nothing to do with the sin of his father being judged for something he never did. No, this is sons, quote unquote, meaning those who have partaken of the same sinfulness as the devil. And that's the way I'm using the word son and father. So hopefully that makes sense. But we are referring to, when we're talking about sons of their father, the devil, people, all humanity apart from Jesus, is in the sin of the devil, right? It's the same sin, all right? So I can't say more than that, but that's the problem there with confusing those two things. The words, it's like confusing the word son literally and sun symbolically. Okay, so I will leave that there.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.